So anyhow, we've been doing this Bible study on our prayer life, a praying life, and tonight would actually be the fourth of the series in a praying life. And the first two lessons were entitled Becoming Like a Child. And again, if you weren't in those Bible studies and you didn't watch them on Facebook or catch up on our website, I encourage you to do so because it could kind of bring you up to speed. But those two Bible studies, they dealt a lot with the amount of times Jesus deals with children in the Bible and how you can incorporate that into your prayer life. And it's very interesting study I found. It's actually, much of this study is coming out of a book that I've been reading called A Praying Life. And then last week, we kind of changed directions a little bit. And the topic of the Bible study was, why did Jesus need to pray? After all, he was the Son of God. Why did he need to pray? So we dealt with that topic last week. Tonight, the message is learning to be helpless or learning helplessness. And you can open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In just a minute, I'm going to read this. But before I do tonight, before we get into the Bible study, I'm going to have Adam come. And was sharing the other day with Ethan how God answered a prayer that he was praying right then and there. And I just wanted him to come and to share that. It kind of fits into our Bible study and all that we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. So I don't think if there's a microphone that's working here, right there, and come on up, Adam, and tell us how that all came about.
All right. So Ethan is my boss, which kind of makes this story even more interesting. So I've been working from home, and it's kind of been difficult finding people that we're trying to look for to hire. And I've basically been doing everything I was doing. And last Wednesday night, I was actually at Billy's house with his dad and him eating dinner. And his dad had asked me how work was going. And I was like, well, it's been all right. And then as I'm praying for my food, I'm thinking, you know what? I might as well, you know, throw it up to God, because why not? So I was like, bless this food in my body, help me to find good people, good candidates for work. Jesus' name, amen. So I finished dinner, and I get a call on my phone. And normally, like, if I don't know the number, I'm not going to answer it after 6 o'clock. And it was like 7. And for some reason, I was just like, all right, I'll answer it. So I took the call, and I went outside, and I was talking to the guy. And he was like, yeah, I saw your ad on Craigslist or whatever, and we're talking about it. So I go through the whole interview process, and then at the end he says, yeah, and I really think this is God's next step for my life. And I was like, that's kind of strange. He's like, because I've been praying about what he wants me to do, and then I just randomly was searching through Craigslist, and I found your ad. And then I looked you up on social media because your name was at the bottom, and your bio or whatever said God first. So I kept digging more, and I noticed that you go to a church where you're from. And he's like, and I just thought that was really cool, so I reached out. And I'm sitting here thinking, no way. Like, it was like the craziest thing ever. Because, like, growing up, I'd always heard stories from people about how they would pray for something and then not 5 minutes later would happen. But, like, it's so surreal when it actually happens to you. I've always heard it, but it was just kind of cool that it actually happened to me.
Okay. Listen, God answers prayers. Amen? Amen. He does. He's a prayer answering God, and it's exciting when we see God answer our prayers. I said this a couple of weeks ago to get this Bible study started. So let me just restate this again and say it again. We're so busy that when we slow down to pray, we find it sometimes uncomfortable. American culture is probably one of the hardest places in the world to learn to pray because we are so inundated with either working and entertaining or being entertained, communicating on social media, we're consumers. Americans are just busy people. And that busyness robs us of our prayer life. In fact, we glorify busyness. If we're not busy, we think there's something wrong. And so we We want to multitask, and we glorify that. There's nothing wrong with multitasking. But when you and I as believers, when do we just slow down, and when do we pray? Last week, part of the Bible study was the amount of times that the Bible records that Jesus broke away from the people, whether into a quiet place, into the wilderness, a quiet time of the day, and he spent time with his heavenly Father. And so the point of that was, listen, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to take some time just to get away from people, just to find a solitary place and a quiet place to pray and be in constant communion with his heavenly Father, if he had to do that, then certainly you and I need to do that. Amen? And so that was the Bible study. I think praying is, I can't be 100% sure of this, but I would venture to say that more preaching is done about praying in churches than praying is actually done in churches. And oftentimes Wednesday night prayer meeting is really more of a Wednesday night Bible study and not really a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And there's nothing wrong with Bible study, obviously. But I think praying and a praying people and spending time and quality time with the Lord in prayer and getting alone with him, we sometimes just do what we feel is our obligatory prayer time. But it's amazing when you start to look through the scriptures and start to talk about prayer and how Jesus prayed and the examples of prayer. So tonight, as we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 10. So if you're there in your Bibles, let's follow along as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. Paul wrote this. He said, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," he said, "then that he had." Let's have just a short word of prayer. Lord, we ask now again your blessing on this Bible study. Help us to learn, teach us, guide us, and direct us. Thank you again for the opportunity that you've given for us to be here tonight. Help us to block out now the cares of the day and to just listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, one of the great dangers that will inhibit our prayer life is our own resourcefulness. Think about that for a minute. One of the dangers that will inhibit your prayer life and my prayer life is our resourcefulness. So what do I mean by that? This is what I mean. We recognize a certain need in our lives, comes to our attention. We identify it, but here's the danger. We know what to do. Something comes along, well, we know what to do. We say, I'm not helpless. It's obvious. This is something that I need to just take care of. Let's just get it done. That's really our nature. It's really how we do things. We do that instinctively. Except the Bible says this. Be careful for nothing, in Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So let me give you just a quick example today. So I'm doing a bit of a project at home. I'm trying to find a tile, floor tile in my bathroom. These floor tiles were put in 15 years ago. And trying to find a floor tile that's going to match is not going to be very easy. But what do I need to do? Well, I need to go to floor tiling places and I need to find a floor tile. Except this is not a very easy thing. So obviously I've been doing this Bible study. And so you would say, well, yeah, that's what you need to do. Do you really need to pray about it? Well, according to the Bible, yeah, I do need to pray about it. Or else all I'm doing is trusting my own resourcefulness. I know what to do. But just because you know what to do doesn't necessarily mean you're not supposed to pray about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me give you another example from my devotions this morning. I'm reading through the book of 1 Chronicles. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, David has now just been anointed the king of Israel. And the Philistines hear about it. So the Philistines, what they do is they send their armies to do battle with David. So this is what David says. It says in 1 Chronicles 14:8, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, and then the scriptures go on to say they sent their army to do battle with him. Now, what does David do? And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. Now, you might say, well, the Philistine army came. David, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, he did the right thing. He went to the Lord and he asked God, well, what shall I do? Shall I fight against the Philistines? They've come to do battle. And he waits and God gives the answer to that prayer. Sounds like the right thing to do. Amen? Well, a little bit further on in that chapter, by the way, David wins a great victory. God gives him a great victory in that battle. But the Philistines aren't done. And a few verses later, the Philistines, it says, yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. And so you might think, well, David will say, well, I went to God before and I asked God, should I go up and do battle against them? And he told me to go up and do battle against them. What's the sense of praying about it now? I already know what to do. But what does David do? Therefore, David inquired again of God. And what's God's answer this time? No, go not up after them. Turn away from them. And come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. So you understand what I'm saying here is David, he's in the exact same situation shortly after he had already prayed about it once. And the point is, our tendencies are sometimes things come into our lives. We've been through these things before. But God wants us to have an attitude of helplessness in our prayer life. And you and I, it's not always easy for us to learn to be helpless. But David shows us here in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, that's exactly what he did. Here's the Philistines, the exact same situation, but he stops again. And he prays and he asks the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, no, you wait. And then he said, when they come up over against the mulberry trees, and then he gave them the new plan. So two really simple points to this Bible study tonight. Ask yourself this question, how do we view our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses. So look in the text. Here's Paul giving this example of what had happened in his life. Look at verse 5. He says of himself, of such an one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, he just got done explaining how 14 years previous to this, the Apostle Paul had been taken, whether in the body or out of the body, he wasn't sure. But he had this tremendous vision. He had this experience with God, like no one else had had an experience with God like this. And he makes this statement here in verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So he had kept this quiet, this secret, if you will, for 14 years. He had shared this with no one. So it's clear he wasn't ever using this to boast. But then look what he says in verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth to be, or that he heareth of me. What is he saying here? He's saying this, really, he said, if I told somebody about this, it wouldn't really be boasting. Because this actually happened. This was the truth. This is what I experienced. It's not going to be, it wouldn't be foolish to share this with someone. But he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to find my strength in that. He says, if I'm going to bring honor and glory to the Lord, it's going to be not something that I experience privately, not something that the Lord did with me, but the things that God does with me publicly. But then he says this in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. In other words, I had this tremendous experience that God had brought into my life and God used in my life. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, it seems as if the scripture is saying this. Just in case I thought about boasting about this, the Lord has kept me humble through all of this. He's dealt with me. He has spoken to my heart. But you noticed at the end of verse 5 what he said? He said, having had this tremendous experience, the things I'm going to glory in is not this, but in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in my vulnerabilities. Because the Apostle Paul understood that. And we'll get down into verse 9 in just a few minutes and talk a little bit more about it. But he understood that the grace of God was sufficient. That real strength came from understanding your vulnerabilities and understanding your weaknesses and understanding your helplessness. And in everything that we do in life, realizing that the Lord wants to have a part in all that we're doing, in helping us in all that we're doing. And that we get to that place in our lives where, well, I know what to do. I really don't need to pray about it. I mean, I'm not helpless. I just need to get it done. And yet, really, the Bible says that's the wrong attitude to have. The attitude God wants us to have is to pray about it. In everything, he said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By the way, Paul uses this terminology in many of his epistles. He says in Romans, continuing instant in prayer. I think sometimes we get this idea that the only time Paul is talking about praying is when it's related to ministry-related situations. Now, the Apostle Paul, he prayed all the time, constantly in prayer. He went on to say this in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Always, you know what always means in the Greek? You know, it means always. Always. And I'm afraid so often we just get too caught up in our own resources and we just think we know what to do and we just leave God out of the equation. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Any of you probably know this verse. Paul said this, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. He's just not talking about ministry-related things. And he's just not talking about, you know, the big issues in life that come along. But we're really not interested in praying. We don't have time to pray. We know what to do. We've got it all together. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. The writer in the book that I'm reading said this. He said, that is, the strength which God imparts to his people is more commonly and more completely manifested when my people feel that they are weak. It's not imparted to those who feel that they are strong and who do not realize their need of divine aid. Think of these examples in the Bible and in the vulnerability of these people and the help that they needed from the Lord. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Think about that. Most of you know what happened there. What's that woman's vulnerability? What is that? The woman's vulnerability, the woman at the well. You remember, she's a Samaritan woman and Jesus meets her at the well and she has some vulnerabilities there. What is that, her vulnerability? What is her greatest need? What? Well, that is a vulnerability for sure in her life. But that's not her greatest need. Well, in that particular issue, you remember what Jesus said? He said there that he asked for a drink, and she looks at Jesus and she says to him, you don't have anything to draw water from the well. And of course, she's there to draw water from the well. And so her greatest need, her greatest vulnerability isn't physical water. Her greatest vulnerability there is spiritual water, the water of eternal life. And so that's her need. That's the need that Jesus brings to her. That's the need that every individual has, that the water the water that cures our thirst eternally. And then in John chapter 5, another man with needs. You find this all through the Gospel of John. The crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. And, you know, you remember the story, the pool of Bethesda, where all of the lame and the halt and the deaf, they all were around the pool. And they were around that pool, and if they could get into the pool when the water stirred, they would be healed. But what's the great man's greatest vulnerability there? He had no man. He needed a helper. And, of course, Jesus heals him. And then in John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. So there's the 5,000 and they're hungry. And Philip says, Lord, there's 5,000 people here. And how are we going to feed these 5,000 people? And so what's the vulnerability there? What's the need there? The food, but the resources. He said, we only have 200 pennies worth of food. Those are the resources. So those are obvious things. Those are big things. But the point is, throughout the Gospels, you see the needs of people and their vulnerabilities. And the fact of the matter is, we all have vulnerabilities in our lives. Everything in life is really a vulnerability when you think about it. And when you and I take a step back from our prayer life and we just trust in our own resources, Adam gave the example of his job. His job is a recruiter. And so you have to have certain talents and certain resources to do that. And yeah, you can get all caught up and, well, I have this ability and I can communicate this way and I can do that. But the point of his little testimony tonight was he took a few moments, he stopped, and he asked the Lord for help. Well, everything in life should be about that. That's having constant communion with the Lord. Our daily bread. Well, we don't think about our daily bread. We just go to the grocery store. They literally thought about their daily bread each day. How are we going to eat today? How are we going to... It was just all incorporated into their lives. What are our weaknesses? Learning to be weak. Learning to, even though we know what to do, recognize that we need God's help. To do it any other way is to do it kind of in a prideful way when you think about it. But that leads us really to the second point. And that's, how do we view spiritual maturity? How do we view spiritual maturity? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says this: "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him." Now think about that for a minute. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Did you receive him in your strength, or did you receive him in your weakness? In your weakness. So the Bible says, as we've received the Lord, that's how we're to walk, recognizing through life our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. So what does Paul say here? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. This is the great apostle Paul. Verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So obviously the apostle Paul knew that there was a spiritual warfare taking place. He said, "I besought the Lord," in verse 8, "three times. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And then God gave him the answer, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Well, listen, how do we really experience the grace of God unless we recognize how weak and how vulnerable we are and how we need the Lord? "Most gladly," he said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities." You see that with the Apostle Paul? He's constantly looking at his weaknesses. He's constantly looking at his infirmities. This is the great Apostle Paul. This is some 30 or so years into his ministry and into church planting and seeing souls saved and great miracles done. He said, "I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The more I recognize my weaknesses, the more I recognize my vulnerabilities, the more the power of Jesus Christ rests upon me. And in 8 verse 10, he says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches." Listen, there's so much of American culture that's counter to this. Not to reckon, we're not supposed to be weak, we're supposed to be strong. We're not supposed to be lacking in any kind of confidence. Be confident. And you can go right down the list. But the Lord tells us, recognize these things. "I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." How do we view our spiritual maturity? As a person matures in the faith, they don't glory in their strength, their talents, their abilities. But you know what? Subconsciously, I think we do. "Oh, I've been a Christian for 20 years now. I don't really need to pray as much as I used to." That's the exact opposite. The maturing Christian sees more and more of their sinful nature. And at the same time, they then see more and more of their need of Jesus. Prayer mirrors the gospel. Our prayer life, it mirrors the gospel. I said in Colossians 2:6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How did you receive him? You received him in weakness. You didn't receive him in strength. But our prayer life needs to mirror the same gospel that saved us. In the gospel, the Father takes us as we are because of Jesus and gives us the gift of salvation. In our prayer life, the Father receives us as we are because of Jesus and gives us the gift of help. That's what Paul understood in verse 9. Let me finish with this. One of my favorite Old Testament verses. I wrote it down. I used to have it to memory. I think I could still say it to memory. But Jeremiah said this: "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Really, isn't that what Paul said in verse 9? First, middle of the verse, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." The maturing Christian recognizes their weaknesses. The maturing Christian, that's why sometimes people will say, "Boy, strong Christians, they pray a lot. If I were stronger, if I was a stronger Christian, I would pray more." No, the people who pray the most recognize how weak they are, how much need that they, because in your weakness is where you find the strength of God. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Amen? And so that's Paul's message to us here. That's learning to be helpless in our prayer life. How helpless are we when we come to the Lord? If you haven't followed a lot of these messages on prayer up until now, a lot of the examples were children. Children can be and are often, they're very helpless. That's why they come to their mom and they come to their dad. And you see so much of that and how Jesus related to children in the Bible and how it can be brought into our prayer life. We talk about the brutal honesty of children. And we need to be brutally honest with the Lord when we pray, because God knows it all anyhow. We talked about the messiness of children. And children come to my grandchildren come to the house. They pull all the toys out. They make a mess. That's what children do. But you know what? When we come to our prayer life, there's some messiness in our life. And we take that messiness before the Lord, and the Lord cleans that up. When the grandkids leave, we say, "Hey, before you leave, clean up the toys," don't we? But that's why God says, "Come on, we'll clean it up." And so you see so much of that, the helplessness, the childlike attitude. So let's be careful. Let's think about that. And when we go to the Lord in prayer, think about that all through life and whatever you're experiencing from day to day in each situation that you're in. Or are you just counting on your own resources, your own energy, your own strength? "When I'm weak," Paul said, "that's when I become strong in the Lord." Well, that's our Bible study for tonight, a praying life, learning to be helpless. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then you can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask and pray that you'd bless our prayer time, that it would bring honor and bring glory to you. We're thankful, Lord, for just the opportunity that you give us to be our helper. You've come not only to save us, obviously, but you've come to help us. And that we might bring our prayer request to you and to know, Lord, that you're listening and that you desire to converse with us and to know what our needs are. And you desire for us to be dependent upon you in everything in life. So we ask and pray, Lord, that now as we go to prayer time, that you would bless this time, that it would be a meaningful time. It just wouldn't be something that we do because, well, we're just supposed to do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.